Most of the contents within the book of Leviticus was absolutely new to the Israelites as they were camped at Mount Sinai. Now, we spoke about this fact back while we were studying the required offerings that were presented in chapters 1 through 7. They had never seen those offerings before. And then they never understood and had never seen or heard any of the laws that dealt with the clean and the unclean foods, or dealt with childbirth, or dealt with leprosy, or dealt with what we dealt with last week, the discharges from a woman or a man that were clean and unclean. And now we come in this 16th chapter of the book of Leviticus to the all-important law of the Day of Atonement. This is the first place in the Bible where this topic is mentioned here in chapter 16 of the book of Leviticus. So I want us to go to the board as we're talking about this book of Leviticus. We're dealing with the laws concerning the Day of Atonement, where we are. And we're going to deal first with the timing of the giving of this law for the Day of Atonement. And we're going to deal with the prohibition of the entry into the Holy of Holies. Now, where's the Holy of Holies? Let's go to the board. Now, here's a design of the tabernacle. This is the tabernacle. This tabernacle sits inside the tent of meeting, okay? The tabernacle has a back section called the Holy of Holies. That's where the Ark of the Covenant sits. Then it has a front section called the Holy Place. Right up against this is the veil that separates it. That's all that separates the Holy of Holies from the Holy Place. Right there is the altar of incense. That's where the pans were put by the two sons of Aaron that were with the wrong fire, and the fire came from behind the veil and burned them and killed them right there. Up here is the table of showbread. We've not heard much about the table of showbread at all, really, to this point in the lessons, but we will get there. Down here is the menorah, the candlestick that is there, and also that is in this holy place, but we don't know what it looked like or know where it was located inside, was a place for the priestly garments to be hung. And that's where the priest would dress. They would undress out of their normal clothes and dress into the priestly garments there. Then, just outside, this always faced east. This is the doorway going out of the tabernacle. It always faced east. And right here, halfway between the brazen altar and the doorway, is the basin of water where the priest would wash before he would go in. He'd be cleansed when he'd go in to the Holy of Holies. In this book's order, the Lord gave the essential instructions for the required offerings for Jewish life, but extremely important for the priest ordination. That's what they were. The Lord explained the offerings, and then He directed the erection of the tabernacle inside the tent of meeting. And upon completion, if you remember, Moses took, they had the anointing and everything. He consecrated this tabernacle and he proceeded with the ordination of the priest. All happened on the first day of the ordination ceremony, according to Exodus 40, verse 17. That tabernacle is erected, the consecration happens, the ordination of the priest occurs first day of the first month of the second year after leaving Egypt. We know it as Abib the first of 1465 BC, or Nisan the first. Abib is the Hebrew name that they gave it back in the days of the tabernacle time. When they come out of exile, they're going to change that first month of their calendar year from the name Abib and pick up the Babylonian name Nisan and call it that. So at the end of the first day's observance, the observation and ordinances, the priest comes, the priest and his two sons come in, four sons, I'm sorry, comes into the tabernacle and they stay inside this Holy of Holies area and everything for 7 days. And on the eighth day, that would be Abib the eighth, 1465, or we could call it Nisan the eighth, the priest then left the tabernacle and came out for the ceremony of the day to complete the process. Later that day, two of Aaron's sons were killed by the Lord when they brought fire in from the wrong source in their fire plans and put it there at the altar of incense, defiling the sacred hall. The Lord notes this topic to address to Moses as the Lord puts a prohibition on entry into the Holy of Holies by the priest. Now, all that is to bring us to the point where the Lord notes this topic about the deaths of these two sons to have Moses address to Aaron the prohibition of entry into the Holy of Holies by the priest. So that's where we pick up here, chapter 16, verse 1. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron when they had approached the presence of the Lord and died. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, or he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat." Now, what we're talking about here is Aaron and none of his sons can come back into this area because the Lord is resting in a cloud up on top of the mercy seat that sits on top of this Ark of the Covenant. So evidently, Moses' two sons' sin was more extensive than just taking strange fire in the fire pan into the altar of incense in the holy place. The two may have actually entered back into the Holy of Holies with that fire, defiling it behind that veil at that same time. And with verse 2, the Lord puts an end to anyone entering into the Holy of Holies except the high priest. And the next time the high priest can enter into the Holy Holies is going to be 6 months away from this date. And in this following passage, we will discover that the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies only one day per year. It's called the Day of Atonement, and it is the only day of the year when the priest can come back into this Holy of Holies area. Now, Aaron was the high priest at the time, but this instruction stands for all high priests into Israel's future. So now we come to the permission to enter the Holy of Holies and the preparation for that day. Okay, so the priests are going to be able to come in, high priest, one day of the year, and he comes in with permission, but he also has to come in prepared. For 354 days out of every year, the Lord prohibits everyone, including the high priest, from entering that Holy of Holies. However, he grants permission to enter into the Holy of Holies to only the high priest on one day of the year, provided the successful and proper preparation for the Day of Atonement has been met. Verse 3. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to his body. And he shall be girded with the linen sash and attire with the linen turban. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. He shall take from the congregation of the sons of Israel 2 male goats for a sin offering and 1 for a burnt offering. The high priest's requirement was always a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. The nation's required animal's choice was always to be 2 male goats for the sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. So the prescription was never to change. Once the priest entered the holy tabernacle complex, the Lord required that he bathe and put on his priestly garments. Now we come to the instruction for the Day of Atonement. When the priest arrived at the complex, the Lord had specific instructions for that day. Verse 6. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. Then Aaron shall offer the goat on which a lot for the Lord fell, and make it a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for the scapegoat fell shall be presented alive before the Lord, to make atonement upon it, and to send it into the wilderness as a scapegoat. So in preparation for the day's ceremony, the Lord's instruction directed Aaron to offer the bull first for the sin offering immediately. And then he cast lots for these two goats. One goat will become the people's sin offering, and one is released alive, laden down with the nation's guilt upon that goat, but completely atoned before the Lord. Well, now we come to the program of entry into the Holy of Holies and the offering of Aaron and his family and the bull of the sin offering. With the timing and instruction for the Day of Atonement settled, the Lord provides the program for the high priest entry into the Holy of Holies. After bathing and dressing in the priestly holy garments, the offering for Aaron and his family comes first. And as noted already, the first offering is the bull of the sin offering, verse 11. Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household, and he shall slaughter the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself. The details of this sin offering are not recorded here in this passage. There's no need to do it. The Lord had already covered all those details back in chapter 4. The slain animal's blood was sprinkled in front of the veil and rubbed on the altar of incense, of the four horns of the altar of incense. And while inside the tabernacle there, with the bowl of blood in his hand, the priest had a special task to do. So before completing the task with the blood, the next order of business was the smoke of the incense. So he's got this blood, he's rubbed it on the four horns, he's in here, but he's got to do something else with the smoke of the incense. He's got to do something on that altar table there. So the high priest did not have to gather the supplies for this step in the process, the smoke of the incense. You see, the utensils and the incense were stored somewhere in this place that we call the holy place. And this step was important because smoke of the incense before the Lord was important. Verse number 12. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony, otherwise he will die. So outside he takes this pan, he comes to the brazen altar, he gets the coal, he comes back in, he gets two handfuls of incense, he puts it on the pan, and he comes behind the veil into the place of the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat with that pan. Every day at regular intervals, the priest supplied a fire pan with fresh coals of incense for this altar of incense right there. It happened every day in front of the veil. Aaron knew how to do this. He participated in it many times. However, on the Day of Atonement, the fire pan with incense was prepared to take behind this veil into the Holy of Holies, where the Lord resided in a cloud on top of the mercy seat, on top of this Ark of the Covenant. Aaron could not have performed this step in the ceremony with fire pans without remembering the deadly results with the fire pans and his two sons that had died. I am sure every time he did this once a year, he remembered his two sons. Their deaths would be ever in his mind. And with this step, if Aaron missteps, the penalty of the Lord is the same fate as his sons. For you see, the sons, their preparation was in front of the veil. For Aaron on the Day of Atonement, his presentation was behind the veil. The fire pan with the incense was Aaron's ticket to give him safe passage to enter back behind the veil. But then there's the blood of that bull, remember? It's already been rubbed on the altar of incense. So once behind the veil with the fire pan, that bowl of bull's blood in hand is also there. And the program's next step required that that blood be sprinkled precisely on the mercy seat. Verse 14. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side. Also in front of the mercy seat, he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger 7 times. Now I want to tell you this. I have always assumed that the front of the mercy seat was the long part of the covenant. That this would be the front. I have always assumed that. And I've always thought that that front would have been facing the veil. The long part would have been facing the veil. But my assumptions could not be correct according to this verse. And here's the reasoning. If the front of the mercy seat faces the veil, it would be facing east. How could Aaron sprinkle blood on the east side of the mercy seat and the front of the mercy seat if they were both the same? Well, they could do it, but why would the Lord put it in there this way? So therefore, my conclusion from this passage that the front of the mercy seat faced the veil is incorrect. That front of the mercy seat either faced to the south or it faced to the north. It didn't face to the east because the east was that square end that's facing that way. So having completed the presentation of that incense and he brings in that bull's blood, he sprinkles it here in the front on the east first, on the east side first, and then he comes to whichever side's the front and sprinkles it there 7 times inside the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat. It's time for the next step in the ceremony. That's the offering for the people, the goat of the sin offering. So at the north side of the brazen altar, the selected goats for the people are brought. Lots of cast. One is chosen to be slain. The goat that is to be slain is slain right there at the north side of the brazen altar as a sin offering. Outside of the tabernacle here. It's done outside. Verse 15a. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people. It's a sin offering. The sin offering was described back in chapter 4. So here we've got blood of this goat that's been caught when it's been slain. The priest caught some of this blood's offering. He took that blood behind the veil also. Comes behind the veil, the blood of the goat, back inside, and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat, just like he did with the bull's blood. Verse 15b. And bring its blood inside the veil, and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. Well, we might make a note at this point. Aaron is to do everything with the bull and goat sin offering that is required to do with them. No one else can help them. He cannot be in two places at one time. So to this point, he has caught the blood of the animal, of the bull, for the sprinkling, and he's done that. And he did not have time to process the fat portions or whatever's required on these animals. He's just caught the blood of the bull and the goat and he sprinkled it where he's supposed to sprinkle it. So the part of these offerings where he's skinning the animal and putting it where it's supposed to be to be offered in the sin offering, that comes later in the ceremony, a different place on the menu. So now we come to the atonement of the holy place. When Aaron sprinkles the blood of the bull and the goat on the mercy seat, all the defilement found within the people of the Israelite camp will be forgiven, and the holy place will be atoned. Verse 16. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sons of Israel and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting, which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. Surrounded by sin, that tent of meeting, which held the tabernacle, was atoned by what Aaron was doing. But now we come to the restriction of the holy place. But for the atonement to occur on that special day, the whole tent of meeting was restricted. Verse 17a. When he goes to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out. The only one allowed in the tent of meeting was the high priest. The first celebration of the wilderness and the celebrations for the next 39 years would be Aaron, alone with the Lord, behind the veil 39 times. But then we come to the atonement of the people. We come to a solemn thought. By the faithfulness of one man, the high priest, he, his family, and all the nation of Israel found the favor of the Lord. We call it the atonement of the people. Verse 17b. That he may make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. This ceremony was the job of the high priest. No one else could do this job. But the ceremony is not over. We've had the atonement for Aaron. We've had the atonement for the tent. We've had the atonement for the people. Now we have to have the atonement for the brazen altar. The tent of meeting was atoned, but what about the brazen altar? Verse 18. Then he shall go out to the altar that is before the Lord, and he shall make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar on all sides. And with his finger he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it seven times and cleanse it, and from the impurities of the sons of Israel consecrate it. Not all the blood of the bull and goat was used on the mercy seat. So leaving that mercy seat and coming out from behind the veil, that priest, Aaron, he marched right out to the brazen altar. And he anointed the four horns and he sprinkled the blood seven times before it. You might think, where's this written down? We know where it's written down. It's written down here in the book of Leviticus. This only happens one time a year. I am sure Aaron went back to the book and checked it every year to make sure he followed the prescription for this ceremony precisely, because going behind this veil wrongly, the prescription was death. But now we come to the man with the scapegoat as he departs. This next point in the order of worship on this day of atonement. A man will take the goat that was selected to live out to the wilderness and let it go free. Verse 20. When he, that would be the high priest, finishes atoning the holy place and the tent of meeting and the altar, he shall offer the live goat. Then Aaron shall lay both of his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the sons of Israel and all their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And he shall lay them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who stands in readiness. The goat shall bear on itself all the iniquities to a solitary land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. I want you to picture, if you will, this goat. Two goats were led into this place by Aaron. Lots were cast. One goat was to die. One goat was to live. The goat to die was already dead. His blood had been sprinkled in front of the veil, on the mercy seat, and on the brazen altar. Aaron approached the living goat that had watched it all. I have often wondered what a goat thinks when he sees another goat die. I wonder what that live goat thought when Aaron took him by the head, just as he took the head of the dead fellow friend of his. But instead of a knife to his throat, he received a talking to. What he heard, none of it was his fault. He had not been to the local school of counseling a day in his life. He did not know all the coping skills needed to deal with such a mess of sin and shame in human life. He was just a goat. In fact, I'm pretty sure he spoke goat. He did not speak human. I dare say that he did not understand a word that old Aaron said. Yet, all the sin of the nation of Israel's people was placed on that goat that day, a burden too heavy to be carried by any human alone. But a solitary goat was selected for the task of bearing that load far away from the camp into a solitary place in the wilderness. Oh, but he would not do it alone. To begin with, a man would help direct him to the wilderness. But in the wilderness, the man would let him go alone, with no one to protect this lone goat. One solitary goat, released in a solitary grove to give a solitary grace to a solitary group. A group of sinful Israelites was saved by the hand of the Lord from Egypt's land with an assurance of a promised land. The high priest has sent him off. Aaron's the high priest. And he watches as that man leads that goat out of the tabernacle complex. And just outside that front curtain of the tabernacle complex is the curtain to the fence that surrounds the complex. And Aaron cannot see the man or the goat any longer. And through one of the tribal areas that man leads that goat, it's a long distance. And the people watch. And they look at that goat, and that goat looks at the people, and they know about that goat. That goat knows nothing about them. Oh, he's heard it all, but he doesn't know it. That goat knows nothing about the ceremony or the reason he is such a big part, but a significant role he is playing that day. The people watch as that goat passes by, bearing all of their sins. Aaron is not alone. And Aaron is not done. In fact, from what Aaron has done in the ceremony so far, Aaron is dirty. Verse 23. Then Aaron shall come into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy place, and shall leave them there. He shall bathe his body with water in the holy place and put on his clothes. So there in the wilderness and in the promised land, the priest's holy garments were kept there in that front room of the tabernacle. It was there that Aaron would take them off and go outside to the basin of water to bathe. And once clean, he returned back into the tabernacle's front room and he put his holy garments back on again. And with that, he comes to the ram of the burnt offering. Dressed anew, Aaron exits that tent of meeting and he took the two rams in his hands. Verse 24. And come forth and offer his burnt offering and the offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people. Now in the beginning instructions for the Day of Atonement, we found that two rams were selected in preparation for the ceremony. One was for Aaron and his family. The other was for the people of Israel's nation. Both rams were for burnt offerings. At this point in the ceremony, each was offered by Aaron together. Aaron slew the rams on the north side of the brazen altar. He sprinkled their blood seven times at the altar, and the remaining blood was poured out at the base of the altar. The entrails and the legs of those two rams was washed. The entrails symbolized a cleansing of the old sinful life. The legs symbolized a new way of walking in life's newness. The cleaned parts were placed on the altar. And the rest of the ram's body were placed on the altar also, except for the hides. The hides belonged to Aaron. Now comes the fat of the sin offering, for those were burnt offerings. Now comes the fat of the bull and the goat's offerings that have not been processed. Verse 25. Then he shall offer up in smoke the fat of the sin offerings on the altar. Now if you remember, as a reminder, the blood of the bull and the goat was caught by Aaron and used to sprinkle the mercy seat and the veil and the brazen altar. That meat had not been processed. It was time for that part in the ceremony. Aaron extracted the kidneys, the loins, the livers, all those parts that have these huge parts of fat on them, and he placed them on the brazen altar. And because it's a sin offering, all the rest of the bull's body were held shortly for another part in the ceremony. For sin offerings, only the fat parts are put on the altar. The rest of the body, including the hide, something else is done with, and it's not handled right here. But while Aaron is doing this, the man with the scapegoat returns. So outside the camp, the man has released that scapegoat and he's returned. But before coming into the camp, that man had to bathe. Verse 26. Then the one who released the goat as the scapegoat shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. So only after bathing could this man who released this goat that had all the burdens of the nation and sin of the nation bound upon that goat could enter the boundaries of those tribal areas and come back into the camp. He washed outside the camp, not outside the temple complex, but outside the camp. He had to wash before he entered the tribal areas. Then we come to the bull and the goat of the sin's offering to be burned. Aaron was waiting for this man who released the scapegoat to return. See, that man had another job. Aaron had a job for him. It involved the bodies and the bull of the goat sin offering being burned. Verse 27. But the bull of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be taken outside the camp, and they shall burn their hides, their flesh, and their refuse in the fire. Then the one who burns them shall wash his clothes and bathe his body with water. Then afterward he shall come into the camp. Ditto redo. The only thing left to do for the Day of Atonement was to burn the entire bodies, including the hides, but excluding the fat outside the camp. The fat was put on the brazen altar, But the bodies and the hides of these of this bull and this goat had to be taken outside of the camp and burned outside. And the man who led the scapegoat to the wilderness bathed and returned into the camp and was tasked with taking these bodies back out to burn them. Once again, the man could not come back into the camp of the Israelites through any tribal area until he washed himself before returning. The day of the Day of Atonement. When we mention the date of the day of the Day of Atonement at the beginning of this section, the only reason we could do that is that we read and studied ahead before I started this commentary. Finally, we come to the Lord's text and we hear Him speak in verse 29. This shall be a permanent statute for you in the seventh month on the 10th day of the month. It is the 10th day of the seventh month of every year. It's late in the Jewish year. It's the seventh month. Many years later, after this, that 7 months will be given the name Tishri, and we will know it. In fact, it's the 10th of Tishri today is when the Day of Atonement is still celebrated. We're thankful the Lord told us when it was supposed to happen. There's also a statute for cessation. The law of the Day of Atonement imposed a statute for cessation on that day. Verse 30. You shall humble your souls and do not do any work. Whether the native or the alien who sojourns among you, for it is on this day that atonement shall be made for you to cleanse you, you will be clean from your sins before the Lord. It is to be a Sabbath of solemn rest for you, that you may humble your souls. It is a permanent statute. Cessation from all work is required of all the Jews and anyone living with the Jews from anywhere. It is a Sabbath of solemn rest. The Hebrew word for Sabbath means day of rest or cease to do. We often think that the word Sabbath means seventh, but it does not. Be that as it may, it will come to be associated hand in glove with the seventh day at the Ten Commandments giving. Back in Genesis 2:2, the Hebrew word shibiah is used. It is the ordinal number for seven in Hebrew. But in Exodus, with the chapter 20, verse 8, with the giving of the Ten Commandments, the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day. The Hebrew word for Sabbath is hashabbat. It means day of rest. But the Exodus passage, back in Exodus 20, ties the Sabbath to the 6 days of work that the Lord did, and then He rested. Therefore, the nation of Israel, to the nation of Israel, the seventh day becomes the day of rest perpetually. And with the Day of Atonement, regardless of the day of the week that Tishri the 10th occurs, that day must be celebrated as a day of rest from all labors for all persons within the Jewish camps, within their villages, within the cities, within their tribal areas, within their nation. There's also a statute for succession. Aaron was the first high priest, but he was 84 years of age by the time we come to him in this story. He would not live forever. The Lord would not let him live. Therefore, the Lord included in this law the statute for succession. Verse 32. So the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement. He shall thus put on the linen garments, the holy garments, and make atonement for the holy sanctuary. and shall make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar. He shall also make atonement for the priest and for all the people of the assembly. Now you might ask, why did the Lord not include the temple that Israel would construct in Jerusalem in this statute? Now surely the Lord knows about this temple. Absolutely. He knows everything. He's all-knowing. And of course the Lord knew about the place called Jerusalem and the temple that Solomon would build. The city that would someday be called Jerusalem was still the Jebusite citadel, and Israel would not take possession of that citadel until King David's 7th year. Then Solomon would not start building the temple for 37 years after David takes the city to be his new capital of Israel. Solomon will start building the temple 480 years to the day after they left Egypt in the Exodus. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. So all the Israelites needed to know at this time was concerning the tabernacle. It'll be 480 years before they need to know anything about a temple that's going to be completed by Solomon. But then we come to the statute of expiation. The statute of expiation. The Lord's final statement in this law states that statute. Verse 34. Now you shall have this as a permanent statute to make atonement for the sons of Israel for all their sins once every year. And just as the Lord had commanded Moses, so he did. You see that? And just as the Lord had commanded, so he did. What did Moses do? We've been talking about Aaron. Well, the instruction returns us to the beginning of this law back in chapter 16, verse 2, which says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, 'Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil.'" So Moses took this instruction and he did what he was told to do. He went to Aaron and he told Aaron, This complete law, it's 6 months before it's time to observe it. But he tells Aaron because he's told to. However, the law had to be communicated immediately to Aaron. Why? His life and the lives of all his descendants who would be high priest would be on the line if Moses failed to warn them about this statute of expiation. That is, the penalty that they would face if they did not obey the law and to only enter the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement on Tishri the 10th. And the text says, and so he did. Moses did that. He told them. So now we know about the Day of Atonement. And with that, we end our study today in chapter 16. May the Lord grant and bless this teaching of His Word as teaching so that we may learn and understand too, because there's much to be brought out of what we have learned in all of these lessons as we progress through the rest of the Scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for giving to us. In Your name, amen.